Well, believe it or not, we launched this campus in 2020. And so we've had our challenges of merging two campuses together, but it's been a lot of fun and a lot of work at the same time. And so, but just like this week, we've merged two churches together. It's been a lot of work, but it's been a lot of fun as well. And so delighted to be able to do that. So thank you, Mary and Raleigh, for allowing us the opportunity to be able to do that. We've been going through a series called Divine Applause, and looking at it, it ties in really well. Oh, Marilyn remembered. Looking at how do we get God's attention? You know, what is it that gets God's attention? There happened to be a man that died, and immediately before he went for an angel, before an angel with a clipboard in her hand, and the angel said, now we're going to have to ask you some questions to determine your destiny. And the guy's like, okay. And she goes, can you think of a time on earth that you acted unselfishly? Can you think of a time when you acted out of genuine compassion for someone? And so the guy goes, well, actually, yes, I can think of a time. You see, there was this time where I saw this big, burly man that was actually beating up a woman. And he was on a Harley bike. And so what I did is I pushed his bike over and distracted him. And when he came over to me, I punched him in the stomach, and then I kicked him in the shins, and the lady was able to escape. And she goes, great, can you tell me exactly when that was? And he happened to look at his watch, and he goes, yes, that was about a minute ago. Well, we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 25 today. It's really that last part. And Jesus really gives us some instructions about how for us to take care of the needy, how to take care of the ones in need. And it's not always easy, and you can ask the students here, was it easy this week? And it's not always a safe assignment, especially if you hand them a weed eater or a chainsaw. That can be a little dangerous at times. But Jesus makes it very clear, in order that for there to be genuine compassion, to really care for the needy, it's important that we get this right, especially before Judgment Day. Because one day we will stand before God and face judgment. Jesus paints the final scene, really, in this text for all of us leading up to Judgment Day. What's that going to look like? Even Mother Teresa said that this passage of Scripture actually motivated her to do acts of service on a regular basis when she took this passage literally, especially in verse 40 of chapter 25, where it said, the same as you do for the least of these, you do it to me, Jesus said. And so today, for just a short time, I'm not going to bring the whole load, even though for some of you it may feel like the whole load, but for a short time, I want to look at four ways, four reasons why serving is so important today. Serving others. And I hope that we'll be motivated just as the kids were motivated, regardless of what the consequences may be. And that's why I want to realize that this is why Mission Survivor was such a big deal. You know, this is why FBC has been doing it for almost two decades. Isn't that crazy to think about that? And allow us to be a part of that. So why should we care? Why is serving such a big deal? Even if it's costly and dangerous, why should we really care? Why should we care about other people around us? Well, one reason I know for sure is for the approval of God. He's the most important person here, God. And this passage kind of describes what that kind of looks like. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be reading chapter 25, verse 31, where it says this. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, thinking about Judgment Day, and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne in the heavenly glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, it says. And he will separate, guess what? The people from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, and he'll put the goats on his left hand. And when the king says to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, he says, make your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And then jumping down to verse 41, it says this, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for what? The devil and his angels. Now on the surface, when you read this text, it almost appears that salvation is by works. But as Raleigh had mentioned and Pastor Brian last week had said, we know that salvation is not by works. It's very clear. And yet the passage, though, has this crazy thing that God is going to judge us by our deeds, by our works. Think about that for a moment. Here today in front of you, I have what appears to be a dollar bill. Does anybody have a dollar bill that they would like to exchange this dollar for? Does anyone want to do that? You sure? 50 cents? It's probably a smart idea because on the backside, guess what? In order for this dollar bill to be authentic or real, it needs to have both sides. It doesn't even have "In God We Trust" anywhere. We've got to have both sides for it to be authentic. And that's the same way when we look at Christianity. Christianity has two sides to it. The one side, of course, is this whole idea of faith. Faith being very important. Hebrews 11:6 reminds us, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But then there's this other side of the coin or Christianity where it talks about service. And we're reminded in 1 Corinthians 13:2, it says that if I have faith so that I can move mountains, but I have not love, no genuine care, guess what? I'm nothing, it says. And even Galatians 5:6 reminds us, the only thing counts is self expressing itself is through love, through action. That's what love is an action word. And if a tree doesn't produce leaves or any fruit, wouldn't we conclude that the tree is dead? And if the tree is dead, we need to what? We need to cut it down because it's useless. It has no purpose. And the same way with love and service are those expressions of genuine faith. That's how we know if faith is real or not, when there's two sides of it being put together. That's why James 2 in verse 14 says this, what is it good, my brothers or sisters, if someone claims to have faith and has no deeds, it says. Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food, he says. If anyone who says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead, is what James says. So really caring for the needy is demonstrated through our faith in God being authentic. And we need his approval for that. Another reason for helping the needy, those in need, is really it's about serving Jesus. We've kind of already talked about that a little bit today. You see, Matthew 25, verse 35 reminds us, Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat, he said. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, he says. And you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me, he says. I was sick and you looked after me. And I was in prison and you came to visit me. And then he says, well, when did we see these conditions happen? And he says, the same as you have done it for the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you've done it to me. Now, obviously, we don't physically serve Jesus, because he's not here. One day he will return physically. But here's what we need to understand, is when we serve his family, his people, we're really serving Jesus. And he makes that clear. He says, if you want to help me, guess what? You get to help my family. Amen. And if you want to help Christ, he says, you'll do it to my brothers and sisters in Christ. You see, Mission Survivor really is about, Mary talked about this, casting the shadow of Christ on everything that you do. You're casting the shadow when you go into impoverished worlds. You're casting that shadow. Or you're casting that shadow when you serve the elderly. You're casting that shadow when you're painting the fence or staining it. You're casting the shadow when you're hauling food down into the food pantry. You're casting the shadow when you're playing with the boy inside when it's 70 degrees and the others are outside pulling weeds. You're still casting a shadow. I know, guys. And something we don't talk about here is when you fill out this service opportunity list here, Academy Christian Church, and you get plugged into ministry, you cast a shadow of Christ. And you even cast a shadow, believe it or not, when we have this time of offering that we didn't talk about, well, I'm going to talk about it now, and you place it in the offering box, you're casting a shadow. And sometimes we don't think about the overlaying image of Jesus upon that face that you are serving. And sometimes they're hard to look at, but you're casting that shadow over them and making them beautiful the way God has designed each one of us. There was a story about Queen of England who was walking by herself outside of the castle one day, and it started raining, and so she actually rushed door next door to one of the cottages and knocked on the door. And actually she could tell that she had frustrated the woman that came to the door. She felt like she was taking up her time, and the woman says, "What do you want?" And she said, "May I borrow an umbrella?" And of course the queen didn't really identify herself as the queen, and so she goes back in her closet. And what she does is she finds the most rattiest umbrella that she can find that's beat up and really worthless to use, and she hands it to the queen and says, "Here you go." And so the next day, it just so happened to be that the queen's attendant in full uniform brings the umbrella back to the lady and said, "Hey, I just want you to know that the queen thanks you for allowing her to use her umbrella." And at that moment, as the lady walks away, you could hear her murmuring under her breath, "If I'd only known it was the queen, I would have gave her my best." And I think sometimes we forget, if I'd only known I was doing this for Jesus, I would have given my best. I would have done it first thing. It would have been a priority. And yet a lot of times we give Jesus our leftovers. And sometimes not even that. If only I'd known. Remember, we're serving Jesus. Proverbs 19:17 says this, "He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward him for what he has done." Another area is that when we really help the needy, you believe it or not, that we're being a positive testimony for the church. Sometimes it's hard to believe, but man, the church, of all the good things it does, can still get a bad rap. Man, we can make national news for some crazy things and wonder why people don't want to even come through our doors because of what maybe has been posted in social media or even how our neighbors at sometimes perceive us. And I just wonder what people have said recently when they've driven down to the South Side, especially maybe when they're heading down to Citadel Mall. At the time. And they said, "You know what? I remember FBC being there." Or when they're driving over to the West Side and they're driving down Uinta Street and they maybe come across the West School and they look over and see a church building and they see Academy Christian Church there. I just wonder maybe what they would say. And I had hoped that one day people would say, maybe they're saying that, or I don't know, that they would say, "You know what, that church does a lot of good for the community. Do you know that on a regular basis they serve the needs of the homeless? Or you know what, every summer they allow the teens to go out into the community and serve one another. And they just love to minister to the hurting people." Because here's the thing I guarantee they probably will not be saying is, "You know what? I believe that they believe in the inspiration of Scripture." Or, "You know what? They believe in the deity of Jesus Christ." I guarantee you they're probably not impressed with the faith. But you know what they are impressed with? Is seeing the fruit of that faith put into action. That's what speaks volumes to people that are hurting and need Jesus. And it leads me to the last thing that's so important about serving. and the primary reason for caring for the need. And it's showing this genuine compassion for people. When we can show genuine compassion for people. You see, Proverbs 17:5 says this, "He who mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker." And it's interesting that people who were commended in this text here, who were commended for the parable, for caring, were actually surprised. Because you see what the text said? "Lord, when did we do this? I'm so confused. I don't remember serving you, Lord. When did that happen?" They were genuinely surprised. And yet, you sense that they didn't do it to impress anybody in this text. They didn't do it to receive a medal, and they sure didn't do it to receive a t-shirt. But they served. You know why they served? Because they genuinely cared about people. And for others, maybe they just thought it was some common person, that they weren't worth helping out at all. Because we kind of picture that in the text too. And here's the thing that we need to understand, is if we want to be known by the Lord, if we want to help someone, which means the approval of God is help that is done for no other reason than that we care. If you want the divine applause of God, it has to be unsolicited. It has to not be calculated. It has to be done with expectation, praise, or reward if we're expecting that divine applause from God. Otherwise, guess what our applause comes from? Man alone. That will be the end of it. And God is saying there's more to it when it's unexpected, when you genuinely care for the people around you. That's why Matthew 25:40 says this, "The king will reply, 'Truly I tell you, the same as you've done it to the least of these, my brothers and sisters of mine, you've done it for me.'" Folks, there are a lot of needy and broken people that need the Lord. And the way that we can reach them through the Lord is serving their needs. And just as Jesus says these words, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." That's why we do Survivor every year. That's why we have these opportunity lists in our bulletin. Once a year, we provide opportunities for people to get connected to serve. You see, Jesus takes notice. God takes notice when you use what he's given you to serve others. And I can't be more proud of our teens and our leaders this week, willing to step out, especially our group, not knowing what to expect, and just to serve and go where is needed, even when they were tired and hot and sweaty, maybe down to the last energy for the day, willing to go do another cut because they cared enough for the people they were going to reach. I love what Bob Pierce says, who started World Vision. His slogan was simply this: "Break my heart for the things that break the heart of God." I think that's a great prayer for us in this room today. Lord, break my heart for the things that break God. And it could change the trajectory of not only our families, but our community, our churches, if we broke for the things that broke God's heart. Charles Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers, had this quote. He said, "It is no use for any of you to try to be soul winners if you are not bearing fruit in your own lives." He says this: "You can serve the Lord with your lips if you do not serve him with your lives." How can you serve the Lord with your lips if you don't serve him with your lives? And for us in this room, I pray it's never about lip service, but it's about serving with our whole heart and putting it into action. God's affirmation is his divine applause for each of us in this room. The question is, will it be lip service, or will he actually take notice of you serving others? God, we thank you for how you've wired us and given us different gifts to serve you in some incredible capacities. And for some of us in this room, maybe we don't even know to fully comprehend the gifts that you have given us, but you want to unleash those in us today. So help us to see the needs of those around us and not be able and be afraid of reaching out to those. God, help us to live with bold courage to serve those around us. And God, thank you for Fellowship Bible Church, for their heart for so many years to serve the community, the love they displayed. Pray you'd bless them as they continue to search for a permanent location, God. Encourage them as you encourage Westside to continue to be bold in our faith and serving, even when it's hard, God. And so one day, we'll hear the words, "Well done and faithful servant." In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.